You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Now, let's get back to our discussion on vaccines. An SMS here says, good afternoon, Ray. I received the Pfizer vaccine first dose on the 24th of May and was told to come back for the second dose on the 14th of June. They cancelled this date and told me they will send an SMS for the second dose within 42 days. No message received. What must I do? One thing you can do is not, first of all, not wait for that second SMS because it's probably not going to come. Go down to one of the points where they are administering these vaccines and they will give it to you. Quite a few people have just done walk-ins. They've taken their IDs with them. They've told people they've had the first one. They've gone. They've also got the second one as well. It has been very messy. We have to be very honest about this. This has been very, very messy when it comes down to SMSs and coordinating. In fact, it's been downright awful. But my advice to you would be go and get your second vaccination by simply going down to your nearest point. Talking today about what happens in the office if somebody says, I don't want to do this, I'm not getting that vaccine. Can the workplace, can they fire a person? Can they suspend them? Can they tell them to go home? Well, on the line is partner at Weber Wenzel Attorneys, Johan Ullefier. Hi, Johan. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi, Ray, and good afternoon to your listeners.
All right, legal advice time. Is this legal? If I pitch up at 702 and I say, hey, 702, I'm not going to be taking this vaccine, can 702 fire me? Can they tell me to go? What can they do?
Well, you know, it is a vexed question, and it's a difficult one for many employers. The government itself, and you've probably heard our president say that, you know, he's not making it mandatory. In other words, the government can't force you to, in fact, have a vaccine, but it's advisable to have one for the whole range of reasons that we've already heard from the Department of Health. And the Department of Health has also issued the direction on the health and safety in the workplace. So we have some guidance from the government in respect of vaccination. I think you've been discussing this in relation to the government being the sole agency of providing vaccines. And what we have now is we obviously have medical aides as well as certain bigger employers working with government to get vaccines and then to provide that service in the workplace. So the government has issued some guidelines to say that an employer may make it mandatory to have a vaccine. But as you say, the vexed question is, what happens if there's a refusal? So firstly, the employer must inform employees of the benefits of getting the vaccine, but also give them information that they have a right to refuse, and they can do so on medical grounds and also constitutional grounds. And that's really where the guidelines stop to say exactly what those are, and then says, you know, you must try and get the trade unions involved, some agreement with the trade unions, and then, you know, advise employees of what their rights are should there be a refusal and should they have concerns. And that's where the debate now starts with employers and what they need to consider.
It's interesting, Johan, because this is the new normal, but we've never faced anything like this before. As of March last year, when this horrible thalugi started in our country and spread throughout the world, we've had to change things. Do we need to change the law, perhaps?
Well, that's where we need further direction. There are many employers where they are now left. I mean, with this option of having a mandatory system of vaccination, if you consider it like a mine or a big factory where people do have to work in relative proximity to each other, the employers already implemented all those measures to make, you know, the workplace as safe as possible. Now, in order to, in fact, ensure even greater compliance and greater safety for the employees working with each other in that close proximity, vaccination comes in. So it needs to consider, is it going to make it, is an inherent requirement? Is it a condition of employment that you must get vaccinated? What reasons will I accept for your refusal? And, you know, it has to be proper medical grounds, because then everyone can take a vaccine. They may have some contraindications and develop even further illness as a result of taking it. But if there are no proper reasons, what do? Do you retrench employees who refuse to take the vaccine? In other words, for operational reasons, if you can't accommodate them in alternative positions where they don't need the vaccine or can do the work from home or whatever, but it's an inherent requirement that they perform that work in close proximity and be vaccinated,
yeah,
and retrench them. So that's, it's a really a vexed question. It's something that needs proper medical and legal advice for employers.
It's interesting because you could also have somebody and you think to yourself, well, if you make me sick, then therefore you are liable for making me sick because you didn't take that vaccination. Is it not a bit like drunk driving? You know that if you're going to take that drink, you may have an accident. So if you go out and you cause that accident, you're sort of culpable for it.
Well, you know, and that's where the employer has this dilemma, because it has to make that workplace as safe as reasonably practicable. So it means that it has to put in place measures, which we already have through all the directions in terms of social distancing, all of the mask wearing, ensuring that people work in different shifts, that you don't have too many people in one place, that you restrict, you know, gatherings. All of those type of measures are already in place. So now vaccination is another layer of ensuring that people build up resistance to this and can fight the disease. And now you'd like to implement that in the workplace and make sure that more people are resistant, that we obtain herd immunity and the like. So for employers, that as a reason, you know, it depends on the workplace. It needs an occupational medical practitioner to assist. It's not a straightforward and easy one. So we may need to have some legislative guidance.
Yeah. And then, of course, it's the almighty work from home. And 2-3 years ago, if you said you wanted to work from home, everybody said, oh, you're just being lazy. But now it's actually a way of life. It's the way to go. Could perhaps this also factor into things that if somebody wants to work from home and they want to continue working from home, they could argue, I don't want to take the vaccine, but this will also allow me to work from home.
Yeah, it's all of those reasons will need to be properly considered. And the employer will need to, in fact, understand if it wants to have that employee at work. It's an inherent requirement to be at the workplace, to perform the work there. You know, you make that a requirement. If a person can be accommodated, particularly now that we're going to the third wave and it's becoming more prevalent, the type of risk that's out there, to say, I want you to be vaccinated. And once you're vaccinated, can you prove your vaccination? You know, we would like you to return to work. So it is quite possible that there will be spurious reasons, that those will have to be investigated, and employers may have to take action against, you know, also people who are anti-vaxxers, who for unspecified and not properly justifiable reason tell people, no, don't get vaccinated. Can you also go and take the spring action against them?
Yeah.
Questions, indeed.
That is so interesting. And Weber Wenzel, are you guys perhaps putting together a unit to deal with this topic? Have you sort of considered that we're in COVID-19 and we better actually have our own legal division or department or segment or something?
Yeah, well, our employment department, you know, is also linked to our occupational health and safety department. So we do look at this and we do advise a number of minds and bigger employers in relation to this. So one of the main things that we are advising on at the moment is collective agreements. As you know, many of the bigger employers have trade unions that represent a large number of their employees. And for that reason, you need to have buy-in from organized labor to assist with creating awareness, to encouraging their members to take the vaccine, and even to implement this mandatory vaccination. So if you can get that by way of a collective agreement, then obviously it's much better. So we do advise on those issues.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Partner at Weber Wenzel, Johan Olafield. Great to have you on 702. Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan.
Great to have you. No-